For any artist, the release of a new project is a joyous time. But just before Brad and Rebecca's latest worship album, The Sound of Heaven, released, Rebecca found herself in the hospital, receiving a sudden and terrible diagnosis. Listen to Brad and Rebecca's story of healing in our Hope Through Cancer series right after this brief message.
This episode is brought to you by the ebook Revelatory Combat by Ryan LaStrange. Revelatory Combat is a concise look into the prophetic ministry and the partnership between prophets and apostles. It provides clarity for the battle facing the church in this hour. Ryan LaStrange and Charisma Magazine are proud to offer you a year-long subscription of Charisma Magazine, as well as a download of Revelatory Combat for only $20. If you'd like to take part in this offer, be sure to visit combat.charismamag.com or call 1-800-749-6500 and mention the word combat.
No one wants to hear the words, "You have cancer." Not only did Rebecca of worship duo Brad and Rebecca hear those words, but she heard them right before the release of their most recent album. But God had so much more for this couple than cancer. I'm delighted to welcome Brad and Rebecca to the Hope Through Cancer series on Charisma News. Rebecca, as I just said, you found out about your cancer almost right as The Sound of Heaven was releasing. And I know you believe that the songs in that album helped prepare you for what was ahead. Can you explain that for our listeners a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. We were getting ready to release, pre-release the next day, actually.
Okay.
And we were laying in the emergency room, and the diagnosis came completely unexpectedly out of nowhere.
Mm.
And we had been writing some songs and preparing a new project, and we've been writing for actually almost about 4 years. It was a really big project. We interviewed pastors just to ask for their shepherd's heart into the writing process of, because we believe that worship teaches us the theology that we believe.
Sure.
And so we just wanted some deep, rich truths from the shepherds of today, of our churches.
Love that.
And so they were full of just really deep truths about what we believe God is, who we believe he is, and what we believe is true about ourselves in him. Mm-hmm. And so we had all of these really, really deep, rich songs about God and about who what our identity is in him. And we'd been recording them, and some of them we'd already been leading in churches across the country.
Uh-huh.
And all kinds of congregations, and just really wanting to portray, just carry forth the belief of those songs to the congregations that we're singing to. And in the weeks that followed the diagnosis, more and more, every time I would listen to a song, it was just like, wow, that was the truth that I needed more than I realized. It was more than I needed it. I needed more than I needed it before, even.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to hold on to what I believed about God and what I believed about myself and him, that he loved me and that he was sovereign and good. They were truly an anchor at the time and still are.
That's amazing. Now, you alluded to this a little bit, that the diagnosis, as it does for a lot of people, it really came suddenly into your lives. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you found out?
Yeah, I had had a baby a year and a half before, actually almost 2 years before, and there was a tumor growing in my abdomen, and I just didn't realize it because I was the mama tummy.
Yeah.
The baby mama tummy.
Sure.
And so I just didn't realize that my tummy was actually getting bigger rather than getting smaller, because I was focusing on other things, focusing on a baby and a young family and ministry and whatnot. And so one morning I realized there was something hard in my abdomen. And that took me to the doctor, and she ordered an ultrasound, and that went straight through a CT scan. And then they sent me to the emergency room because they thought that it was bleeding. And so they thought I was in danger. Sure. So they sent me to the emergency room, and it was there, the radiologist there, that realized what it was, that it was a large liposarcoma.
Wow. Now, Brad, were you with her in the emergency room? By this point, you have two young kids, right? So were you able to be there with her then?
Yeah, I was there with her. We had spent the last couple of days just thinking there was something wrong, but nothing of that nature.
Okay.
So I think we were both a little surprised. I had just kind of walked a little bit away to find out where the doctor went. It had been quite a while. We were in an overcrowded emergency room hallway. We weren't even in a room.
Oh, goodness.
And I came back around the corner and I saw the doctor kneeling down next to Rebecca. And it was just one of those moments that you could tell this isn't one of these good scenarios. This isn't a good conversation.
Right.
So I walked over and they filled me in on what was going on. And then we just kind of proceeded from there, but it definitely took us for a surprise. That's for sure.
Yeah. Now I know that we know that the Holy Spirit is our comforter, and I'm sure that you believe that and you taught that. How did you experience that as you both, I'd love to hear from both of you as you started walking through this time together. How did the Holy Spirit minister to you?
Yeah, goodness, there were many, many moments that I needed reminding that the Holy Spirit is my comforter, you know, because fear likes to creep in.
Sure.
The enemy would love to take us out in those moments, isolate us, and distract us from the truth and from the Holy Spirit. So there were several moments over the course of a long time that I would just have to push that out and welcome the Holy Spirit in to just fill my heart with peace. And there would be moments where I would read a post from somebody that would post on our social media, just an encouraging word that was just the perfect word I needed to hear at the time. Or they would send me a song to listen to, like a worship song to listen to, and it would just be so, so comforting. And that was straight from the Holy Spirit. And of course, just going through the scriptures, just trying to find the scriptures that I felt, applied to my situation right here in this moment. And I would just read them over and over. And sometimes there were moments where I couldn't read them. And so I would just ask Brad to read them over me. And he would. And the Holy Spirit would just come in and comfort me.
I love that. What about you, Brad?
I think there were a lot of things to get done in the moment.
Yes.
I'm a very hands-on, like, okay, we got to do this. But something we learned really fast is that the medical world is 8 to 5 and shuts down on the weekends, which is so weird sometimes in the chaos of everything. But I think it helped us kind of take a breath and really allow God to move and do things, because we had to pause. We didn't have an option. There was no other email, no other call, nothing else we could do. We just had to stop and wait. And we watched time and time again as God just did something, whether it was medically related or whether it was just provision in the situation. So I think for me, watching God do stuff on our behalf when we really couldn't do anything was probably the most comforting thing, knowing that we were being cared for by just an incredible God. Even when we were trying to figure things out, he was just like, wait, I got this. Just wait. It's going to be okay.
That's awesome. Now, I know he made several things to come together, even for you to be able to have the surgery that you needed. But during the surgery, Rebecca, you had a specific answer to a specific prayer, and I'd love to hear you share that story with our listeners, if you would.
Yes. So from the beginning, I just began to pray for a miracle. I wanted God to heal me. I wanted it to disappear. I didn't want to need surgery.
Sure.
I didn't want to need to go to the doctor again, you know. I'm sure everybody prays that God would just make it all disappear.
Right. And he can.
And I was praying, and he can, and I believe that he can. And I know that he works things differently for different situations, you know, to show his sovereignty and his goodness. And I thought I had this amazing plan that the tumor would just disappear and all the doctors would get saved, right? That was my plan. It's easier for me too. And so the specific prayer that I prayed was that, it doesn't make sense physically, medically. I don't know why I chose to say the prayer this way, but I asked God that he would make the tumor fall out of my body, that it would just shrivel up and just fall out of my body. I know it sounds kind of weird as I'm saying it. It sounds weird to me now. I think it was 12 weeks that went by of waiting and me praying every time and every new CT scan, the biopsy, that it would be, have disappeared.
Yes.
And it was still there. And rolling into the emergency room, I was even just thinking, God, you can still make it happen.
Yeah.
As I'm, falling asleep under the anesthesia.
Or into the surgery, into the surgery room.
Plan. And the doctor came out after what was supposed to be a 6 to 8 hour operation to update the family. It was only 2.5 hours into the operation that she came out. And
Praise the Lord.
She said, she's all done. The surgery is over. She's in recovery. She's fine. Once we got her asleep and opened up, the tumor practically fell out of her body. So to me in that moment, it was such a simple thing that she said, and she had no idea the prayer that I had been praying.
Right.
I hadn't shared it with her. But to me in that moment, it felt like it was God's way of saying, even though I'm not going to choose your plan. my plan is better and I'm sovereign. And, but even in that, I want to let you know that I heard you.
I'm in this. Yeah.
And that I was with you in those moments when you were praying and seeking me. I was with you and I heard you. And it was just an amazing moment just of God saying that to me. It was really awesome.
Yeah. Now, you guys have an unusual, alignment for how your ministry works. You lead worship basically all over the world, but then you also are worship pastors at a church in Arizona, correct?
Yeah, we lead worship at a church here in Arizona where we live.
Uh-huh.
We're not actually on staff, but we lead there about half the year with the incredible crew of other worship leaders. And then the rest of the year we travel and do ministry, mostly in the States, but also around the world.
Now, was your church, or how did your church family support you during this season of your life?
Well, it was one of those interesting weekends. They were getting ready for a night of worship when we were going through the process. And I remember texting our head creative pastor and executive pastor that we know very well and communicate a lot about. I need to talk to you. I know you guys got a lot going on. And they were just there, whatever we needed. They made a way for us to be off the road a little more and available for the church almost immediately, so that we didn't have to worry about traveling and trying to make finances happen and all that stuff. They adjusted schedules for us. They did airport runs and drop-offs and pickups. And they were available when we sent a text and when we needed to talk. They made sure that something happened if they could do it.
And just constant coverage and prayer. I think from that first night when they were getting ready to go out and do a big night of worship together, they lifted us up in prayer, and that was always a thing. And that's so important, so huge, to pray and lift each other up.
Yeah, for sure. Now, what about one of the unique things I think about you two is your connection with a child care ministry in Uganda. Now, what about you had already been connected with them, and you still are? I know we had to schedule this interview around another trip to Uganda, but did that ministry stay connected with you while you were going through this?
Yeah, very much so. We've been working with them for almost 10 years now.
Uh-huh.
In the morning of surgery, I got a video sent to me from our friend there of their entire staff, and they have a very large, like 300, 400 staff, just praying for Rebecca. It meant the world to us to see that.
Yeah.
We also had a couple of videos from some of the kids that we get to work with over there, just sending some love to Rebecca as well.
I love that. So the body of Christ everywhere was supporting you. I love that. Now, what about you guys went through this? I mean, the cancer happened to Rebecca, but this was your journey together. Do you have advice for other couples, maybe especially younger couples, but really any couple who's facing something like this?
Yeah, it's not easy. There's going to be many moments of question and doubt. And really, you don't know what the outcome is. We didn't know what the outcome is. And we still go every 3 months for mm-hmm. scans, kind of holding each other tight each time. But I think that's the biggest thing, is you have to hold each other through it. And sometimes that's going to be the person that isn't sick, holding the person that's sick, and making mm-hmm. sure that they just get whatever they need, or they listen to, or it doesn't matter. You're just there for them. But
yes.
Then sometimes it's the other way around. It's the person that is having to do all the paperwork and all the phone calls and flight schedules and all the stuff that has to happen in order for the person who's sick to get better. And decision fatigue kicks in, and it gets a little overbearing. And even in the sickness, I remember Becca just asking if I was okay, or just like telling me to take some time to rest, and but just being there for each other. And then we have, even though our family lives far from us, our family was in and out, or kids were going to their houses or whatever, just to help us get some reprieve.
That's great. What about you, Rebecca? What would you say to help to another couple who was facing something like this?
So ditto to everything that Brad said. He really picked up basically everything that needed to be done medically, insurance-wise, dealing with doctor's appointments and insurance. He picked up everything for me, and he didn't want me to have to worry about it. And he knew just by looking at me if he needed to hold off on a conversation until a better moment, he would do that. He was just good at reading what I could handle at the moment. And like I said, when he would just read scriptures over me, that was so, so huge. Just knowing that my husband believed these words that are straight from the Bible, and he was declaring them over me and proclaiming them over me.
I love that.
And I know there were moments where he was needing some support from me, and it's kind of a little bit of a we help balance each other in those moments. If he's needing some help calming down, or if I'm needing some help calming down, usually the other of us is in a better spot, so we can just help and give each other that support, offer that support to each other in those moments.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
For each other, I think, is huge.
Yeah. Now, we shared at the beginning how your most recent album was sort of at the start, was pre-releasing right at the beginning of this journey. How do you think your next album will be different? I don't know where you are in the process, but how will your next album be different because of your cancer journey?
I don't really know how to answer that. I think I love the fact that when I look back on the record that we currently have, how much it supported. Like, we wrote it to help encourage other churches and other people and mm-hmm. be a support there and be a blessing. And in turn, it became a huge support and blessing to us as we started really understanding that, wow, these songs are what we needed to get through this situation.
Yes.
So when I think of the next record or next song or any of that, I just think there's something that God has bigger than what we can even put a mark on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we walk in that confidence because he very easily proved himself with this record that we had this goal. He let us do it, and then he reminded us of a bigger picture of why we did it. So we're working on stuff now, just songs at a time. And I know one of the songs we're currently working on is just a reminder to rejoice, to always rejoice. And I love that reminder. We wrote it right before we found everything out and didn't even realize what we had written until it was over. So I'm looking forward to sharing that.
For sure. That's God at work. And he definitely has the whole mm-hmm. picture, even when we don't.
Yeah.
Well, as a part of this series, we love to have our guests take time to pray for our audience. Would you be willing to do that for us right now, please?
God, we just thank you so much that you love us, God, and that you always have the best plan in mind for us, no matter what it looks like on our end. We know we trust you. We know no matter the outcome of any situation, no matter the effect, we know most of all that you love us and that you are good, that you are sovereign, and that you are able to accomplish anything you want to accomplish in us. I pray, God, that you would just continue to fill us with your peace and the comfort of your Holy Spirit to settle down the fears and the questions in our minds, that race. Just help teach us how to quiet our minds and our thoughts.
Yes, God.
In you, and trust and know that you have the ultimate best plan for us. And Lord, we just pray that the situations that we are in, the sickness that we're facing, God, and every situation in our lives, that everything would be used by you to bring glory to you in whatever
yes,
way
God.
That you see fit, God. We want to be vessels of your goodness and of your love. We want to shine your love in every situation, every circumstance of our life, even when we are sick, God. We pray that that would be true, that wherever we would go and whoever we would talk to, that they would sense your love and your goodness and just the truth of who you are, that you are God and that you are sovereign, and that that you did make the ultimate way for salvation for everyone, God. Let that just shine through us everywhere we go. And I pray that you would just help us to remember that we have an opportunity because of sickness to share that message with people who are watching, because people are watching.
Yes.
And I pray that because of that we would just remember what a high calling we have as Christians to share your love in whatever situation, whatever circumstance that is. I just pray, God, for just your healing. I just pray for healing and love.
Yes.
And whatever, in whatever way you want to do that, God, we believe that you are healer.
Yes, God.
And I pray that you would allow us to be still in your presence to receive that, however that looks, God. We love you so much, and we thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for the prayer, and thank you so much for your heart for the Lord and for our listeners. I know that you've really helped us communicate the hope of heaven, the hope of healing, and the hope of God's constant presence with us today, Brad and Rebecca. Thank you again. This is Marty Pieper, and this has been the...
You're so welcome.
Sure. This is Marty Pieper, and this has been the Hope Through Cancer series on Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.